Last time on The Dock of Shame.
And the only shorts you have left is a red Speedo. What do?
I wear the wet shorts.
You wear the fucking wet shorts!
The water evaporates.
Owen returns to the kitchen, throwing the orange crate at Trent and concussing him.
Oh my god, Trent fucking died! Trent was like, maybe I'll have a line in an episode.
The rake goes through his foot when he steps
the
on it.
The rake goes through his foot!
The rake goes through his foot. Welcome, campers, to the Dock of Shame podcast. My name is Matt, and joined with me are...
My name is Chris, and I showered for the first time in 3 months.
My name is Matt, and I showered Chris for the first time in 3 months.
My name is Gabe, and I'm facing the greatest amount of disappointment right now.
Why is that?
Because I'm trying to get a shiny Yamper. And it's not working.
I wish you the best of luck.
No, you don't.
Why would I not? Why would I not wish good fortune onto my friend?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyways, welcome to the Dock of Shame. This is like one of the earliest times between when I last put up an episode and when we've recorded. I've actually kind of been on top of it this time, which is cool.
Right.
Yeah, so we're on episode 11 today, and that is... What was that episode titled?
Oh, why...
It was titled, Who Can You Trust?
Who Can You Trust?
We open up, and it's probably the most normal recap that we get, just a straight up and down. It's exactly what happened in the last episode. They're fed breakfast after the theme song, and Chef calls it a Hawaiian-Italian fusion casserole. Basically just leftovers from the cooking challenge. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying delicious.
Oh, yeah.
No, I actually do have a
Heather's...
question.
Yes.
How the fuck did the Hawaiian stuff get salvaged if it was all, like, garbage?
I mean, the pineapple skewers were fine.
But then just call it pineapple.
Pineapple Italian, but doesn't have much of a ring to it.
Fuck, okay.
Heather's still cold from the freezer. She's having a back and forth with Gwen.
You insert the word fusion into anything and it makes it sound cooler. Heather does not cover her mouth when she sneezes, which is why I'm going to blame the COVID pandemic on Heather.
Oh, dear.
You just want to, even though this was 12, 13 years ago, you still want to blame everything on Heather.
Oh, yeah. I think the reason why the world sucks the way it is because of Heather. She's definitely, like, she's definitely is the cause of every single problem that society faces today.
Wow. You guys remember Pearl Harbor?
Yeah. That was Heather piloting.
Oh, I was just asking if you remembered it. I mean, if you want to jump to conclusions, I guess.
Never forget.
We get a shot of DJ petting Bunny, who we haven't seen in a while. Bunny was
this was the bunny that, like, scared the shit out of me a while back, and I was like, why did that bunny cough like a fucking grown man?
Yes. What creeped you out more, though? The bunny coughing like a grown man, or DJ baby-burning his bunny?
It was still, like, the cough, because I just wasn't expecting that. Like, I forget how much just vomit there was in the show.
Yeah.
That is not, like, the only vomit we get in this episode. It is
as alarming as a moment
can get. But it just goes to show that DJ is yet again one with nature. But what doesn't really make much sense is that bunnies don't eat food that way. They're not baby birded. Bunnies just eat the fucking vegetables that are on the ground or whatever. And just go with it. They don't need to be force fed it by like a pop bunny. You know, I mean, good for DJ becoming one with nature, but my goodness.
If DJ was a D&D character, he'd be a druid.
Yeah, totally. We should do that at some point. Have like a, maybe in our season break, we can.
Sure. We'll cast them all as D&D classes.
Yeah. Duncan takes a mug from the mess hall and puts it in his pants to steal it. Corny calls him out on it, saying that she's like trying to help him not get kicked out.
That mug is not impressive.
No, it's not. It's an orangish mug. But then Corny says, like, oh, the reason I don't want to like see you go is because we're one player short. They're not. This is the only time that the Bass will ever be one player ahead of the Gophers. Spoiler alert.
It's not spoiler alert, we know.
Yeah.
that you could literally the next scene that when it cuts to the challenge being told, you could clearly see there's one extra killer Bass there.
Oh, I meant spoiler for the fact that the Bass will never be ahead again.
Oh.
That's what I thought you meant too, yeah.
Yeah, okay, never mind then.
Yeah, but they cut to the next scene. You see that there is one more Bass, so they are one player ahead. So they could technically afford to lose Duncan. But there's a lot of Duncan and Courtney build up in this episode, as there was in the last one, as there will be in the next one.
Yes.
So, but before we introduce the challenge, though, Chris decides to go in front of the camera and give us a public service announcement. Just about trust and trusting each other, and then decides they're going to put that to the test with the campers in an almost nefarious manner.
When is Chris not nefarious?
That's true. About exploiting them for laughs and such.
I need to see what contracts these kids signed.
Oh, no, definitely. Everything in this, everything is like death-defying. It is wild.
Like, I don't know what kind of waivers these kids signed and why their parent, like, can we honestly talk about their parents and like why the fuck they allowed their 16-year-old child to be exposed to a monster like this?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't know, and this is also this is Chris at his tamest.
Sure, yes. Yeah, considering later seasons especially, I get that. Just, you know,
I know nothing. I'm pretty sure they have to sneak into Area 51 at some point.
That is a challenge in World Tour.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh my god. Yes. That's a meme. Man, they did some memes before their time.
Yeah.
Like, that raises a question. Between the seasons, do they age at all?
No. At least not noticeably.
God, what a year it was.
Time passes, but they keep the same character models.
Hmm.
So they might go from like 6, they might go from 16 to 18 through the course of the series.
They'll make it right.
No. So the first challenge is rock climbing. Chris decides to choose the partners himself. Who does what? So DJ and Duncan are climbing for the Bass. Heather and Gwen are climbing for the Gophers. Seems like a pretty easy challenge at first. It's just climb up, help your partner stay steady. But of course it can't be that easy because the mountain is full of rusty nails, oil slicks, and explosives.
Mm.
Why?
Because why they not? Can, Matt. Because they can.
Because they have the budget.
Real quick, I think it's during this intro that Heather announces via diary room that she has a doctorate in revenge and humiliation. Now, full disclosure, I watched this episode while I was basically half asleep after waking up this morning. And so when I wrote down on my notes, I wrote down the quote and then wrote LMAO, shut up, you're 16. And I don't know, I don't know what further analysis I was really trying to bring to the table, but apparently that was what really important thing I had to say for this very moment.
Shut up, you're 16.
DJ, realizing that this challenge is going to be dangerous, hands Bunny off to Jeff because he trusts Jeff. And the theme of the episode is trust. So he hands Bunny to Jeff. Jeff is like, oh, sure, I'll hold on to Bunny. Find out that Heather has a second rope that's attached to Gwen somehow. And she's just like, oh, you know, for extra safety. And Gwen just kind of blows it off. As they're climbing the mountain, Gwen gets literally blown off the mountain. But Heather's able to catch her. And then Chris takes a water gun full of habanero hot sauce and sprays down Heather with it, causing her to drop Gwen, hit the ground.
See, like, if it was actual habanero hot sauce, they will be fucking doubled down on the ground, throwing up because it hurts so much.
You know what, though? Like, if that was me, though, I would have had Duncan's reaction, which was just to open my mouth to it.
And oh, same. Like, honestly.
Drink it.
They'll put that shit on everything.
And skillfully get sunglasses on to protect his eyes.
Yes.
And he's like, is that the best you could do? And Chris is like, almost like taken aback, like, is that the best we can do?
Yeah. he's like a little hurt. He's like, is that the best we can do?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's like, he's almost addressing the cameraman as if like the producer's like behind the camera being like, I don't know, man. It's like, I thought this was like the peak of our performance here.
this whole show is just performance art.
Yep.
Yeah.
As they continue to climb, Heather pulls the second rope that's on Gwen and rips her pants off.
Fun.
Because we really needed that. The result.
Because Heather is a master at getting revenge and a master at embarrassment.
Totally. No, excuse me. It's a doctorate. She has a doctor, she's not a master.
Oh, shit. You're right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have insulted her education like that.
Fucked up, Matt.
She got a master's when she got a doctorate.
Yeah. Yep. You have to be very specific on that front.
That distracts DJ enough for him to let go, and he pulls Duncan up with him, and now they're just hanging from the rope, and Gwen is able to get up to the top. Gophers win the first part of the challenge.
All right.
Did you guys notice the censorship in this one?
I did not.
So,
we haven't talked about censorship in a while.
Yeah, well, it's been frequent, but this is the ones that I just noticed. I think there was actually quite a few of these two particular episodes, but when Gwen actually had her pants ripped off and then was, like, looking at her cloth, she, like, basically was just like, you know what, I think she said screw it in the Canadian one, but instead of screw it here, she said skip it, which to me makes absolutely no I guess skip the reaction, I guess, is what she meant by skip it. Like, I thought that was very strange. But then she got to the top, and then when she revealed that she was still just in her underwear, she said man in the American version, where I think that crap should have was the Canadian version, the canonical version.
I just looked it up. You are exactly correct.
Yeah, I did not know the exact curse words that were used, but I just know skip it and man were the replacements for it.
Mm-hmm. Aw, man. Aw, jeez.
Oh, jeez, my tidy whities.
Jeez.
But they were purple.
That's true. But I feel like I would not want to go any further with nicknamings there, because then it gets really awkward.
Oh. Let's move on. Yeah. The second part of the challenge happens in the mess hall. We see right away it is going to be Jeff and Bridget for the Bass versus Trent and Lindsay on the Gophers. And I love the moment where the stunt guy, who's clearly one of the interns, somersaults through the air, lands, and then Chris comes up behind the podium to explain the challenge.
That was so fucking funny.
I think I looked down for that moment. Oh my god. I missed it. I remember it from watching it initially, but I think I completely missed it during this rewatch. Yeah, that's one of the best ones.
As Chris is explaining the challenge, you see the stunt guy just crawling out the door.
So good.
So it's an extreme cooking challenge, is what Chris says, and he says it like, extreme cooking challenge!
I was like, didn't they just do cooking?
They did.
And didn't they just do extreme challenges?
Now you gotta merge them.
Yeah.
Bridget and Lindsay are the two who are going to cook. She calls Trent Todd.
I didn't notice that.
No. Oh,
that's so good. Trent is like, you took biology, right? As if just taking biology is going to help with this challenge. I'll say what it is in a second. And then he's like, well, she's no Stephen Hawking, but I'm sure I'll be okay. They need to prepare fugu sashimi, which is a poisonous blowfish that actually exists. I don't think it does. It doesn't do to you what they say it does.
It does.
The real thing. Well, no, because in real life, it actually just kills you.
Yeah. That's what I meant.
Right.
Well, yeah, it has enough poison within it. The actual quote that Chris used was that it has enough poison in it to kill 30 people. So this was one of my big problem with this whole segment, because they're like, oh yeah, it's super poisonous and can fucking kill 30 people. Well, let's move on. But yeah, they're like, yeah, no antidote. So like, you're basically setting up so like, for if anyone was poisoned, they're just dead on sight.
No, what Chris says is there's no antidote, so no worries about that.
Right. Nope. So yeah, like as if that's like a like, oh yeah, reassuring. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, it's a selling point.
Yeah.
I was worried it was an antidote.
They cut through it real quick. Bridget makes amazing looking sushi, and Lindsay just has mush on her plate. Before that, even Lindsay pokes it with a knife, and it kind of like does the balloon thing where it zips around the room and crashes out the window. Which is great.
During this, I couldn't help but think about that one video about that's the moaning pufferfish.
God.
Eating the carrot.
Oh, God.
Don't do this now. No.
Jeff eats one very slowly, looks around a couple bit, and he's okay. He's totally fine. Cut over to Trent. The mush has a smiley face drawn on it in ketchup. He eats it, punches himself in the face 3 times, screams, gives a thumbs up, and then Trent fucking dies for the second episode in a row.
Yeah, I like, they do Trent dirty. Like,
yeah, like, no, this is what I meant from like the last episode too. I'm like, Trent is like, he's either the Gwen eye candy or he's just a punching bag. Like, he's really, there's really no built character within him outside of, oh, I play guitar. Like, that's,
to be fair,
that's
a
really
lot
it.
Of these characters are punching bags.
Oh, yes, you're correct about that. I agree. And so here's the thing, though. Then Chris is like, yeah, don't worry, he'll be up and walking in 24 hours. And it's just like, wait a minute, you just said that fucking he would just die from this shit. What do you mean he would be up and walking in 30? Like, there's the layers of inconsistency, and then it gets even worse later.
Trent is blue and puking on the floor. Chef has to give him CPR.
But, like, first of all, he was just puking. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like he was, like actively throwing up. It was just, like, coming out, like how, like, water pours out of, like, a cup. It was just, like...
Okay, like...
Wild.
First of all, in that situation, you're supposed to flip the person over so they don't drown themselves in their own vomit.
Mm.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, face down is always been the deal. Apparently the writers of the show did not have any experience with being drunk enough, I guess.
Next scene is Jeff and Bridget celebrating their victory by swimming. And Jeff, of course, doesn't want to jump in the water with a rabbit in his pocket, so he puts it on the lifeguard.
Wait, can we just, hold on. I realized this now after I watched it. How the fuck was the bunny okay with sitting in a fucking loose pocket this entire time?
It is a really calm bunny, I guess.
Yeah, apparently.
Bunny, yo, bunny is chill as fuck.
Yeah.
True. So Jeff puts bunny on the lifeguard tower. And my question was, why didn't he give him back to DJ when the challenge was over and he was doing his own challenge?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's an excellent point, actually. That's so strange.
Yeah, that's fine. Quick cut over to Trent, who's in the medical tent. Chef is about to give him a shot and says, okay, don't worry, this won't hurt. And then he, like, does the flicking of it. He's like, it'll hurt a whole lot.
So, okay, I'm sorry.
No, yeah, he's like, this one hurt a little, hurt a lot.
Yeah.
But they said there was no antidote, so what the fuck is this needle?
I mean, it could, that, we can interpret this however we want, beyond just poor writing, but.
It's just torture.
I take it more as, like, Chris is lying about a lot of the, like, the levels of danger that are set in a lot of stages. You know what I mean?
That's, okay. I could take that as can. That's what I kind of figured in a way, too. But, like, I am poking holes in this whole thing, and I'm just like, what the shit? I feel like there's, like, mental warfare happening with this shit, where they're just like, oh, yeah, just be careful, because you're going to die. And they're like, no, you're just going to be, like, paralyzed for 24 hours. It's all good, even though that's still horrendous.
It's fine. They cut back to Jeff and Bridget, and they notice that there's a snake on the lifeguard tower, and it eats Bunny.
Mm.
Before Jeff can get to it, an eagle swoops down, takes the snake, and before Jeff can get the eagle lands on the end of the dock, and a shark comes up and just eats the whole thing, including part of the dock.
The comedy rule of threes, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. It's perfect, but unfortunately, they kill the fucking bunny. An important character.
Can we also talk about how they were literally just fucking swimming in that water? And that giant ass scary shark just pops up and then just eats all three animals.
There's a we're not gonna, at least I don't plan on doing Revenge of the Island on this podcast, because I don't want to do anything past World Tour, because it just gets messy beyond that.
Oh, come on. I enjoy that. So I think we have to watch the good and the bad of this. I'm just saying, we can talk about it later.
We can talk about it later. I have my reasons for why I want to end on World Tour.
I have one thing, though. We're not doing
Drama. We're not going to go on to watch Total Dramarama. Not one bit.
We're not doing Dramarama. No, fuck that. The podcast episodes would be a lot shorter, to be fair. So there's a character in Revenge of the Island that the island is mutated. So there's this shark that has legs and can go on land that terrorizes one of the cast members throughout the entire season.
Hmm.
Well,
I'm a big supporter of not that.
That gives insight.
This is the kind of future that liberals want.
Yeah.
Revenge of the Island is a decent season. I do enjoy it. But it's not near the quality of the original three. They go over to the third challenge, which is actually three challenges. Surprise. We find out that they are all related to blindness. Blind William Tell, blind trapeze, and blind toboggan is what Chris reveals them to be as. For blind William Tell, they have to knock the arrows off of their partner's heads using crab apples. Which was obviously the other way around. They had to shoot the apple. William Tell shot the apple off the head.
Oh. Okay.
With the arrow.
I'm thinking like William Tell, like Overture, and I'm like,
yes, that's That's the story that the song was based on.
Oh.
Yes.
As Chris is explaining, he puts on the blindfold, and we get a DJ crotch shot with the apple.
funny slapstick.
I mean,
he got hit in a barge.
hits to the crotch are very entertaining. Ooh, to 12 like girls. French?
he got hit in the barge.
Can't deal with this shit.
They don't pay me enough for this.
So it is LaShawn and Owen versus Courtney and Sadie. Harold just announces that he's violently allergic to apples. Just out of nowhere. He's not competing in the challenge. He just says it. We see Sadie and LaShawn are the ones shooting arrows off of Courtney and Owen's heads. Owen is getting hit a lot by apples, but he is taking it like a fucking champ. He's just standing there getting hit. He's totally fine. Courtney is getting beamed and is not taking it nearly as fine.
Owen's highest status constitution.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Owen has a lot of chest where he does not, where apples hitting him will not affect him. Whereas maybe like a cannonball or something will really fuck his shit up.
Right. To be fair, a cannonball would fuck anyone's shit up.
You would think.
You would. LaShawn finally hits the arrow off, and not only that, the arrow goes through the apple, off of Owen's head. Perfect shot. But then Sadie keeps going. Keeps firing apples. She's like, no, wait, I got it this time. Everyone's yelling at her to stop. She hits a bunch of animals, even a Bigfoot, a Sasquatch, in their cave watching TV, and makes them change the channel.
Yes, hi. I'm a PETA representative. I'm really upset by this episode of
Why?
All these animals being tortured. Can we please redact this episode from Total Drama or
that's going to provoke some angry emails.
Yeah, the PETA organization will come and protest on Camp Wananaqua. So,
cool. Chris has to finally step in and stop her. He's like, "Look, stop! The thing's over." Next challenge is the trapeze. Chris mentions, "Hey, to avoid serious injury, we set this trapeze up above a pond." But the pond is full of jellyfish.
What a twist!
The person on the trapeze needs to catch the blindfolded jumper. Just catch them as they jump. Relatively simple. Before the stuff happens, Jeff and DJ are talking. DJ wants Bunny back. And is heartbroken because Jeff lost Bunny. Hopped away, as Jeff said.
Yes, heartbroken. Hopped away.
Just hopped away. That's all that happened. And DJ
slithered away, flew away, and then crawled away inside of a shark.
Yep.
Inside of a snake, with an eagle and a shark.
Yeah.
With the candlestick.
Yeah. It sounds like the next like hero team. The bunny, the eagle, the snake, and the shark. It sounds like the Lion, Witch, of the Wardrobe shit. But like
it sounds like the setup to a really bad joke.
Like it's right, but it sounds like
a
they're
bunny,
like
a snake and an eagle walk into a shark.
I feel like this is like the next superhero foursome that like will save the world from everything. It's the spinoff we needed, not Total Dramarama.
As that is happening, Duncan leaves. Just walks away from the crowd. We see Harold is on the trapeze, trying to coax Bridget to jump, and he catches her. Good teamwork
there.
That
is surprising.
Yeah. Lindsay is counting off to get Heather to jump. Doesn't do it very well. She's like, jump, no wait, don't, and misses Heather, and Heather lands in the water and is electrocuted vigorously. quote, Gwen, sometimes the universe gives you a freebie.
It was a very nice freebie.
Yep.
But Chris, I thought Heather was your favorite character.
Yes. I'm going to hammer it in that she is my favorite.
Yep. So, Heather goes to the infirmary. Courtney is already there. Courtney was knocked out by all the crabapples being flown at her. As they talk, Courtney sees Duncan, who's leading a rabbit with a carrot. Doesn't say anything to him, but just notices that. The last challenge for the blind toboggan has a driver and a navigator. The driver, of course, is blindfolded. Chris, I was thinking Jeff Probst from fucking Survivor. Chris says, not many of you left, huh? And no, there's not, because they're all in the fucking infirmary. It is Gwen and Lashana versus Jeff and DJ. And I believe that Lashana and DJ are the... Yes, Lashana and DJ are the blindfolded ones, where Jeff and Gwen give instructions. Jeff is trying to get DJ to trust him, because it's the difference between life and serious, heinous injury. And that's not a censor, but I wonder if they did that just so they wouldn't have to censor dead. Death. Life and death.
I don't know, because, like, with every fucking, like, threatening thing so far, it has just, like, all been just, like, life or, like, really bad injury.
True.
Yeah, like, I think it's, like, that they maybe one day these characters will start to realize they're in a cartoon and that their lives need to be preserved in order to continue plot lines.
Perhaps.
Maybe.
All right. I lost my place. Here we go.
Oh, there it is.
We see Chef also lubing up the slides to make them go faster.
I don't like the term lubing.
I mean, Chris, it's like it's just the word lube.
Yeah, I just
it doesn't have to have that connotation.
No, it doesn't, but I just don't like that term, that's all.
Okay.
It's just, I feel maybe they could have done, like, a, I'm just, like making the sleds more slick or something. That at least could have added a little bit extra alliteration. I don't know.
Sorry, Chris, he moistens them.
Right? Yeah, I would have liked that a lot more.
I think a lot less people would agree with you. DJ doesn't want to trust Jeff, however, because Jeff lost Bunny earlier. And he's not too keen about the fact that he doesn't have Bunny. And is really sad. In fact, DJ isn't steering that much as they're going down the track. There is a shot with the gophers where Gwen tells Lashana, she goes, right. But Lashana, in the animation, goes left and then right to dodge things. Gwen and Lashana also end up going off a waterfall and are in a river for a bit. DJ isn't steering through this. And it takes Duncan somehow yelling loud enough from the bottom of the hill to go, hey, DJ, look who I have. DJ takes off his blindfold, sees Bunny, and now is the motivation to win this fucking thing.
All right, this might be a dumb question, but you guys might be paying more attention than me.
Okay.
Is Duncan and DJ on the same team?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Because he could have, a little later when, you know, he's accused of just being nice to try to, you know, help out DJ, he could say that he could have said that it was to just help his team.
He could have.
Yeah. Okay.
I think he was trying to protect his image and was probably nervous around Courtney, so I'll give him that. It ends up being a close race, and then suddenly explosives happen. And this is probably one of the most famous stills of Chris that exists, where he has the explosive plunger in his hand, and he says, I just hate to waste them. And he's got this smile, and his eyes are, like, pointed inward.
Chris in his prime.
Yep. Jeff and DJ explode. Sorry, were you going to say something?
No, I was gonna say, like, put like a little bookmark here for when we're, you know, like seasons and like future seasons into the show, where we're like looking back and we're like, that was prime Chris.
Yeah. Jeff and DJ explode, and it looks like that the Gophers are going to win. And in fact, Owen and Lindsay are the only Gophers that are left, not in the infirmary or not doing the race, because there's six Gophers left. Seven Bass at this point. But Jeff and DJ fall right on to the winner's tape. And the Bass all celebrate. Courtney compliments Duncan, and he's like, she's like, hey, you're actually nice. And is like, I saw what you did with Bunny. That was a nice thing that you did. And then he plays it off as much as he can, but then admits to it because he doesn't want people to think that he's soft.
Just like, well, no, he doesn't say soft. He says nice. Like, yeah. I feel like, I'm going to get into this a lot in the next episode, but like, this whole, like, I need to be mean as a personality trait. It's just really just, it's such shitty writing, in my opinion. I hate those characters so much. Heather, Duncan, like, their personality trait is mean. And so they have to go in that direction all the time. And it's just like, oh no, I have to be mean. When I do a nice thing, it has to be ignored. Like, it's just fuck off, man. Him and his stupid ass attitude.
I can see a teenager saying that, though, was the thing.
Yeah, okay, I can too, but it is, like, my every little bit of my criticism for Duncan, I have to wait to the next episode, because it really, I could just break it down a lot harder than I can right now.
Okay. It's weird, because, like, in the series as a whole, legitimately, Duncan is one of my favorite characters, and I'm not exaggerating that.
Right, I'm in the context of this first 11 episodes of this and yeah. 12 episodes of this.
Right. So and he is just like a jerk constantly throughout all this. So it is justified and I would probably have the same opinion too, but it, like, seriously, I promise you Duncan gets better. Either that or I'm just remembering things wrong. we cut to the kind of wrap up of this all. Trent is in a wheelchair and he's making some noises because he's poisoned. He's kind of dizzy. The best one, but since DJ did take off the blindfold during the race, Chris gives it to the Gophers. Gophers win. And I wrote down, Lashana shouts, that's how we roll during this. And I wrote down after that, you won on a technicality. You didn't win because of your own skill.
What better way to win than by a technicality, though?
Wait, can I also point out, so during the race, Lashana and Gwen, they go up like a rock as like a ramp and then onto a river. And then down a waterfall, and then they hit like a log, which then like bounces them into the air, and then like right back to where they were.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to acknowledge it.
Yep.
It just happens, and I just they didn't like spend too much time on it. They just fall out of the air again, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, like I thought that was like they reached the bottom at that point. Sometimes you just gotta look over all the inconsistencies, all of them.
Totally. the campers can have a little marshmallow as a treat. Duncan, Bridget, and Courtney get it first. Then it's given to DJ and Jeff, leaving Harold and Sadie. And I wanted to point out that Harold won the one challenge that he was a part of. And DJ lost both of the ones that he was a part of.
Yes.
Just putting that out there.
Well, because Harold is treated by like shit by his team, so.
He is. That is true. there's a lot of pause. They're like, get to it. And Chris mentions the audience eats up this kind of dramatic inclusion. Sadie is gone. She gets up and is mad, like visibly angry, showing more emotion than she ever has. And then starts whale crying again. Chris's favorite noise in the world.
Yes.
And then Katie is on the boat. Gets to say hi. And then they do the, I'm not even going to try to replicate that. Does anyone else want to?
Dolphin sound.
That.
Yeah, this is the Sadie-Katie reunion that everyone asked for.
Everyone wanted.
Oh my god. Sadie and Katie are my favorite characters. Why? Oh my god. And to see them together again made me so happy.
Oh dear. Me too. That's the noise I make every time I wake up.
Oh my god.
Wow. I think that's a way to end off for me.
Also, Chef is driving the boat. I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
Yes, he has been driving the boat.
Okay, that's just the first time I noticed it.
Yeah, in past episodes, he's usually the one that drives it. They don't always show him, cool. But like that's like canonically, that's how it happens.
Accepted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any final thoughts about this episode?
Let's do ratings.
Let's. Let me get a screenshot of what we have so far, so you can compare.
Mm-hmm. I'll start. I 9 out of 10. I have high praise for this episode. I enjoyed it a lot, actually. I found that you really got a look at every single character for the most part in some way, shape, or form. Yeah, a lot of different storylines going on. I enjoyed the bunny storyline a lot. Yeah. Thought that was pretty interesting on all sides. I felt like that they picked a theme that they wanted to stick with, and they went with it. So I thought this was the best episode of the season thus far. So 9 out of 10.
Cool. Who would like to go next?
Sure, I'll go next.
Okay.
This was another episode that I guess I just, like, misremembered or missed a lot of episodes when I was a kid, because I remember a lot of the early episodes very well, and these episodes I don't think I ever caught. And this was one that, while I found entertaining, the pacing was a little weird. But I think that's also because there's still a lot of characters that they want to focus on, and there wasn't necessarily one really strong through line, mm-hmm. to focus on. But the fucking stuntman bit, like, holy shit, that was so fucking funny. So I'm probably going to give this one, I'm going to give this one an 8.
All right. Gabe, do you want to go next?
Sure. I really enjoyed this episode. To be honest, I completely forgot about it. It was in, like, the deep recesses of my mind. But the fucking stuntman thing, it actually made me, like, snort. And, like, I don't know. It was just really silly. I'll definitely give it a 9.
Cool. I'm gonna give it an 8.5. Fucking solid episode. All my thoughts pretty much summed up already. All right, then. Walsh, take us away to the drama the Rama world.
All right, so today I thought we would travel to the wonderful world of Total Drama Rama Season 2.
Oh my god. Yes.
Oh, hold on, wait a minute. I had one ready, and I think I just saw, like, an even wilder one.
Okay, quick question, though. Have these aired yet?
These have aired. They've aired in... They've aired in Canada and in America. Because they have a Canadian air date and a U.S. air date. Cool. Which is kind of strange, actually, because it looks like the U.S. air dates are earlier than the Canadian air dates.
The series as a whole has been more America-centric as it's gone on.
Yeah.
Right.
It sounds about right.
Yeah. It was basically, it started out, like, the first season or two was had the Canada one released first and then the US, but yeah, I think it shifted over time.
You know, we'll just go with this one. All right. Okay. Episode 60, number overall, but in the season, we'll go season then episode. So, this one, hold on. Here it is. This one comes in from Andrew's Shankman. Thank you, Andrew. This is season 2, episode 9. Mushy Fonfons, which is
Wait, excuse me, repeat that one more time.
Say that again.
Yeah, I'm just going to send you guys the spelling on this one.
Okay, because it sounds racially insensitive.
It's M O O S H Y, and then Fon is spelled P H O N.
Mushy
Fonfons.
Huh.
After eating Chef's extremely rare and expensive chocolates, Courtney, Owen, Izzy, and Beth travel all the way to the Norbirian Alps of Fruffenberg to replace them.
Huh.
You guys ever been to the Norbirian Alps of Fruffenberg?
So, wait a second.
They had to make up two names.
My concept here of this show is really out of whack, because I thought this was like a daycare.
It is.
Place.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So they left it. So it's like fucking Rugrats now, where they like basically leave their little playpen and fucking head off on adventures, even though like I think Rugrats was in their head. I didn't really watch a lot of Rugrats, but okay, cool. This is basically Rugrats on fucking mushrooms is what this show is at this point.
Guys, I want to pitch to you something.
Yeah.
Imagine you are on a reality TV show, and you're on that reality TV show, and you know, you do fairly well, you don't win, and maybe, you know, there's a couple reality TV shows that follow it that, you know, they have you back on. You know, just because the first one was such a big thing. You make some friends on the show, you make some enemies, but overall you have a lot of fun, you know? And then a couple years later, the same network releases a show that's all children that each one is cast to be different childlike versions of all the people you met on that reality TV show, including a child who is cast as a childhood version of you. Could you imagine how fucking bonkers wild Total Dramarama would be if this was, like, a live-action, like, series? Like,
you gotta read your contracts better.
Like, if you, like, if, like, Big Brother was like, alright, this is Big Brother season, I don't know, whatever, like 32, but babies. Whoa.
Okay, can I just tell you that I think they've done that before. So this might be, I could be completely misremembering, but I think for like one challenge at some point in Big Brother, it may not even have been Big Brother, it could have been another reality show, where they rehashed some things that happened during the season, but hired child actors to play as them in order to rehash it. And it was part of a challenge is to remember what exactly was said or done. I'm almost certain it was Big Brother, because I don't really watch any other reality show.
That absolutely sounds like a Big Brother challenge.
But I don't know like when it happened, or even if it did. Hell, I could have dreamt it for all I know. But it fucking... I'm almost certain I saw that happen before, and I do not hold anything, I don't hold any of these reality shows to a standard outside of maybe Survivor that they wouldn't stoop to such a level.
This has been the Dock of Shame podcast. I don't even know what to do for an outro for this one. Trust yourself.
Wear a mask.
Wear a mask.
I'll see you guys. I'll see you guys in Fruffenberg.
to get those chocolates back.
The Dock of Shame podcast is brought to you by Team Chaos Productions. Find us on Twitter @DockofShame and find more of our work at Team Chaos Pods.